want you to imagine that the United States has been through a devastating catastrophe, say in the next few years. And then 300 years into the future after this catastrophe, civilization in the United States has gone through many cultural and ideological changes. You know, you'll probably have a change in religion. You'll have a change in the court systems. You'll have a change in the government. And some, maybe all public and governmental knowledge is lost. And someone is elected to be the head of the United States. We don't even know if he'll be called the president. We don't know what his title will be. The administration may be different than what we would even consider the administration should be like today. Now, I want you to imagine that this has all happened and the United States has been through all these changes. And 300 years after this happens, a copy of the Constitution of the United States is found. It's been lost. Can you imagine the upheaval that this would cause? You might say, well, this will never happen. Let me ask you a question. What would happen if the Bible were lost for 300 years and then it was found again? What would people do? And what would be the lessons for us today? That's the theme of the sermon that I'll be giving you today. What would happen if the Bible were lost? Well, point number one, when you put sin first, the Bible gets put into the background. When you put sin first, the Bible gets put into the background. Let's go to the book of 2 Kings, and I want to read you a story that sounds very similar to the one I gave you about the United States, but it involves a different nation and a different time. 2 Kings chapter 22, and in verse 1. And this is a reign of Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. A lot of us think, oh, I'm too young. I can't do what God tells me. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adadiah of Bezakath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. So even I'm sure he was advised at the time, but he did what was right. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. So if he started reigning at 8, and then we have 18 years, we're looking at about, he's probably in the mid-20s. So he's a young man. In the 18th year of King Josiah, verse 3, that the king sent Shaphan, the scribe, the son of so-and-so, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. So they would take donations at the door of the temple. So the king sent one of his courtesans, one of his noblemen, and said, go and look and see how much money we have collected from the donations for the temple. And let, verse 5, let them deliver it to the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord, doing the work to repair the damages of the house. So if you remember the history, the temple had fallen into disrepair, and they were taking up offerings, and now they were collecting the money. Give the money to those that are the carpenters, the workers, and have them finish up the house. To the carpenters and the builders, verse 6, the masons, and buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. And they were so trustworthy that you don't even have to give me an accounting, verse 7. Verse 8, then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law. I have found the book of the law, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. It had been lost for approximately 300 years, if you look at the chronology. They had been without the Torah for about 300 years. Verse 9, so Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it to the hands of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And he read it before the king. what would happen 300 years into the future after the United States ceased being a nation if the Constitution of the United States was found and was read before the people. Verse 11, now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Achan the son of all of these people, saying, verse 13, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. So the king read the book and said, we're not doing this. There's something wrong. We're not doing what the book says that we should be doing because we have lost the book and we didn't know any better. And so the king tore his clothes. Let's go to Deuteronomy 17. It's got a principle here about the kings. Deuteronomy 17. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy 17. We're beginning to read in verse 14. If you were the king, you were required to do this. Verse 14 of Deuteronomy 17. When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you and possess it and dwell in it and say, I will set a king over me like all the other nations that are around me. You shall set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your brethren you shall set as a king over you. Don't set a foreigner over you as king who is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. So don't go back to Egypt. Neither shall he multiply wives. Think about all what the kings did. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. I'll give you the example of Solomon in his old age. Nor shall he multiply silver and gold for himself. And it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write out by hand, in his own handwriting, for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of the law and all these statutes. So he was supposed to write out the, you know, not everyone had the scrolls. They were very, very, very rare. Only the priest had them. Can you imagine how much money it took to copy out a copy of the law? Several hundred pages long. They had to pay somebody to do that. And the king would copy out in his own handwriting the book that was lost, so that he could have it before him all the time. I remember when I was a young boy, I was told and forced, in the educational system we have, to memorize parts of the United States Constitution 47 years ago, our forefathers and all of that. And that helped me to realize the nation and the country that we were in and all the blessings we had. So the book was lost. So when the book was lost, when sin was put first, the Bible got placed in the background. The books got placed in the background, which is a very good principle for us. When we sin, you know, we don't tend to put the Bible in front of us. We tend to justify our actions. Point number two, when you put the Bible first, then the opposite happens. Sin goes into the background. 2 Kings 23. Let's go to 2 Kings 23. Right after, you know, we read about 2 Kings 22. We're going to go to the next chapter, 2 Kings 23. And we're going to have, we'll see what happened when they read the books of the law. In verse 1. Now the king sent to them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and with all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. So in chapter 23, he reads to all the people what they hadn't read before for hundreds of years. And in verse 4, notice what happens. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asheroth, for all the host of heavens, astrological signs. And he burned them outside Jerusalem. So he purified and cleaned out the temple. Verse 5. Then he removed the idolatrous priests. So he got rid of the idolatrous religion. So he cleaned house, literally. And, you know, we can skim the rest of the chapter. We're not going to. But some of the things he did, he removed the wooden idols from the temple. He removed the perverted sex workers that worked in the temple because they were in a fertility mode of worship. And this involved, you know, all kinds of things I can't even mention here. He defiled the Valley of Hinnom. He removed the horses to the sun. Remember your mythology, how this God rode the horses across the skies, and that was where the sun was. Well, they had horses that were involved in this worship, so they worshiped the sun god. They defiled the high places, and these high places were from the time of Solomon. You remember Solomon built all these places? Well, basically what happened, brethren, is when they read the law and they read the Bible, you know, what we would consider the Bible, they changed their ways. They didn't do this before because the Bible had been lost, so they put sin first. Now that they found the Bible, they put the Bible first and they put sin in the background. And this is a great lesson for us. The lesson for us is the third point. Keep the Bible in front of you. Keep the Bible in front of you. Don't let it get lost. We can lose the Bible spiritually. We can also lose the Bible because, where's my Bible? I remember having it last Sabbath. This is Friday night. Where is my Bible? Keep the Bible in front of you. Make it part of your life. The Bible will do the following. It will guide you. It will instruct you. It will light our path. It will correct us, which we all love, I'm sure. It will show us the mind of God. It offers us salvation. It blesses us. You know, you read the book of Revelation, and it says, blessed is he who reads, and blessed is he who hears. And it helps us to make wise decisions. Don't let the Bible get lost. Don't let it get lost. Don't be like the people in the time of Josiah who had lost the Bible, who had lost God's word. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And we're going to look at 2 Timothy, verse 3. Should be one of our memory verses. 2 Timothy, verse 3 and verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that from whom you have learned them. He was talking to Timothy, Paul, and he said, Paul, remember what you learned as a child, and remember who you learned them from. And that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, and at this time the Holy Scriptures were the Old Testament. The Old Testament Scriptures, brethren, can make you wise to salvation. They did to Timothy and to Titus and to Paul, and that from, verse 15, childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Are you teaching your children the Scriptures? You know, the children are not going to come to you and say, hey, Dad, I'd like to have a Bible study. Can you teach me? You have to take the initiative. I remember having many, many Bible studies with my children. Oh, man, another Bible study. But we had them anyway. Sort of like eating your broccoli and eating your spinach. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means God breathed. And I should have put my mask on when I did that. But God breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the person, what's it do for you? That the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When the nation of Israel, when the nation of Judah, Josiah was the king of Judah, when the nation of Judah lost the Bible, it began a downward slide. You can see what happened, what Josiah had to reform. When they found the Bible, they began to climb out of sin. We can be the same way, brethren. When we forget and forsake the Bible in our life, you know, because we don't study, we don't read it, you know, we don't put it in front of us, you know, we turn on the television set instead, we spend hours on Facebook instead of, you know, spending 10, 15 minutes a day reading the Scriptures, it's easy to be in sin. When we drink in of God's word through study and reading, we make it easier for sin to be put away. It's not perfect, but it helps. One of the greatest tools that we personally have for putting sin out of our lives is to put the Bible back into your life.